everybody, welcome back to PT Tech Talk Podcast. This is episode 65, and if you're looking for the intersection of physical therapy and technology, you are in the right place. If this is your first time listening, first of all, welcome and thank you for joining us. And if you've listened before, and if you find this valuable, go ahead and drop us a five-star review on iTunes. And what that'll do is it'll surface up the podcast for others like you to find it. And as always, you can also check us out on SoundCloud and YouTube. Go ahead and hit the subscribe button. You'll get alerts for all of the upcoming and newly published episodes. I'm one of two co-hosts. My name is Dave Kittle. I'm a physical therapist and a partner at cashbasedphysicaltherapy.org with Ron Miller. And we're currently helping practice owners attract and retain more cash-paying patients. And as always, joined here by my co-host, Rob Vining. Rob's a physical therapist and the founder of PT Live. PT Live is a live chat that allows prospective patients to chat with a physical therapist and schedule an evaluation right inside the app. You can check out the website, ptlivechat.com. So that's ptlivechat.com. Today, speaking with a physical therapist, Steve Sudell. He's a practice owner at Prehab to Perform and is the founder of The Neck Hammock. And that is why we have Steve on here. You can check out theneckhammock.com. And currently, they have an explosive Kickstarter campaign. It ends November 30th, 12 midnight Pacific. And go ahead and check out theneckhammock.com and bounce over and you'll see the Kickstarter campaign from there. Before we bring on Steve, just want to say what's up to my co-host, Rob Vining. Rob, what's up, man?
This is going to be interesting, man. We originally had Steve on back in March, and we decided to delay it until the Kickstarter campaign started going. And man, I mean, Steve, when you reached back out to me and I clicked on that link, I was like, holy cow, man. And that was just last week. And
what's the number real quick, Rob?
I think it was at 6:40 when he contacted us. And then right now it is, I'm sure Steve's refreshing like every 5 seconds too. It has just gone over the $750,000 mark. So $750,220 raised with 10,349 backers and 3 days to go. So anything we can do to bump that up a little bit more and maybe get over that seven-figure number, that would be nice. But in summary, man, we really are interested and thankful, Steve, for you coming on here. It's difficult to make software, but it is even harder to make a product that is going to sell and running a successful Kickstarter campaign. So that's what we're all about today. So first off, Steve, thank you for coming on. And secondly, talk about yourself as a physical therapist and then how you develop the product, and we'll just go from there.
Well, huge thanks for having me on, guys. You guys are awesome. When I had the opportunity to reach back out again, super stoked that you guys are free and that we were able to make this happen. I just think that it's super important for us as physical therapists to discuss innovation, how we can use our knowledge to help patients, not just in the clinic, but around the world. So I've been a physical therapist now for a little over 7 years. I went to University of St. Augustine in Florida, and about 5 years ago, I moved out to California, where I kind of did a little bit of home health, and then I created my own practice. Prehab to Perform focuses mostly on CrossFit athletes and higher level athletes. Just a little bit of background on me, you know, I played football. I was a competitive CrossFit athlete, and also I was a chronic neck pain sufferer. Over the last few years, I had noticed a lot of my clients as well have also experienced an increase in neck pain. And one day I was working out and I was doing a thing in CrossFit. They do handstand push-ups, which doesn't exactly sound like the smartest thing, but either way, it is what it is. And I tweaked my neck again. And I was really frustrated because, you know, this was probably the third time in 3 months that I really significantly tweaked my neck. And so what I did was, is I knew that in the past, cervical traction has always been something that had helped me. So right then and there, I'm like, you know, I need to recreate this because there isn't really anything out there in the market that can create the cervical traction that's strong enough. So all I did was I grabbed one of those really long resistance bands. I wrapped it around the pole at the gym, wrapped around the base of my head, and I laid in it for about 10 minutes. 10 minutes later, my neck pain was gone. So I knew that I was onto something because it worked. And so I wanted to immediately start trying it with my patients and testing on them. Quickly realized that those resistance bands aren't exactly the most comfortable. Most of my patients would be in it for 1 to 2 minutes and they're like, nope, that's it, before that they would get out. So I've spent the last 2 years now working on something that was really comfortable around the head, because the biggest challenge is that this whole area back here, the ears, the hair, it's very sensitive. And if you're just off by a little bit, like with your foam padding or if the material isn't quite right, if it's not comfortable, you're not going to lay in it, period. The second challenge was, well, how do we make this portable, right? Neck pain doesn't just happen to you at home. So many people travel. And how can we make this to where you can just put it in your luggage or in, you know, your handbag or whatnot? How can you bring it with you and use it at the hotel room when you're done? So I wanted to make it portable, and mostly I wanted to make it affordable. A lot of the cervical traction units out there right now that are very effective are also very expensive, you know, a few hundred dollars. So I wanted to make it really something that was user-friendly and, you know, wouldn't break the bank.
So like the one thing I'm thinking of, because we used to use these in the clinic and some of our patients would purchase them or try to get, you know, reimbursed through insurance. And we're like the big Saunders units, which as you said, are those and many other names, they are very effective because I've used it when I've had neck pain, just like, you know, Steve, just like you described, but they are huge. They come with a bag, but there's no way you can travel with it.
The water bag.
They're gigantic, like travel bags.
Right.
And so the unit is effective, but it's not portable. And also they're hundreds of dollars. So for the price of the neck hammock, which is portable, something you could just kind of roll up, what's the cost of the neck hammock?
So right now we're offering it on Kickstarter, $59. We wanted to keep it right under that $60 price point. With all the research and the money that we've spent into it, that price we really found would be, you know, something that wouldn't really break the bank. And it's a quarter to a fifth of what a Saunders cervical traction unit is. And when you're done with it, you just put it in your sock drawer. It's not this big, bulky piece of equipment that just sits in your, you know, living room.
Right. Did you have to get an industrial designer or somebody to help you? Or how did that process go?
Yeah, so fortunately for me, this is actually the third product that I've worked on. You know, I've worked on two in the past, and through those products, created an introduction to an industrial designer in Florida who I'd met. He really helped get the process going because, again, for me, I had this idea, had no idea how to put it together. You know, that's not my thing. I'm not an artist. Like, that's not what I do. So he got the ball rolling, and then through a series of connections and different friends that I've met over the years, I got introduced to another industrial designer who then took the neck hammock to the next level, to where now we have a really professional design with great materials, and it works really well. But it's been a process. It's not something that happens overnight by any means.
It's just incredible that you made this much progress. Now you got a couple more days for that to, you know, blast off. So right now you are seeing all this traction, but you didn't always have that. You didn't always have that, let's say, like, validation from the market. So what were some of the early days? Like, maybe go into a little bit of how you used Launch Boom and what were some of the things that you used to kind of get the ball rolling and get it out there?
Well, the good news is about me having my own clinic is that this is now my ninth version of the neck hammock. And the reason how I've got to this ninth version is I was able to test on real patients. You know, people who are really suffering from neck pain, I was able to test it on them, try it on them, get their feedback. And based on their feedback, positive or negative, really kind of help guide me to the direction that I am now. Once I got myself to where I felt very comfortable about the product, then it was up to me to find someone to help me market it. Because again, no idea what to do in this realm. I tried to go the traditional marketing route, right? I tried to find like marketers who, you know, they're used to doing e-commerce and things like that. But as I quickly realized, there's a huge difference between Kickstarter marketing and traditional marketing.
Right.
And that's something that most entrepreneurs who are trying to get into Kickstarter must learn very quickly. You can't just pick any marketer to do this for you. You got to pick someone who knows Kickstarter and Indiegogo extremely well. And that's how we found Launch Boom. It was a word of mouth referral. They've had a really good track record. I spoke to their CEOs, Tom and Will, both great guys. And very early on, you know, we were on the same page. Like, look, my expertise is everything that has to do with making the neck hammock, you know, as good as it possibly can be. But I need you guys to help me kind of take over and get this out there to the world. And they've done really a phenomenal job.
Right. Now, how does that process actually work with Launch Boom? I've heard a whole interview with them on Mixergy with Andrew Warner. And so I was familiar with that right away, but I don't know the background details about like price or how their whole system works. Can you go into that a little bit?
So the thing that really drew me into Launch Boom is that they don't just take everyone. When I was developing the product, there were a bunch of agencies who were basically ready to just take my product, start marketing it, and, you know, get it out there and Kickstarter as soon as possible. And something just didn't seem quite right with that, because I knew that my product wasn't quite ready. So to advertise that and market it so fast was a big red flag. But with these guys, they don't take on that many projects per year. They're much more selective, okay, which is what I like. So what has to happen is initially you'll pay about $3,500 to $5,000 to basically do market research.
Nice.
What they do is they take your assets, you know, your images, videos, anything that you have on the product, they'll test it on Facebook using ads, and based on the conversion on whatever they get, the lower the cost per click, the better the product you have. And after about 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks of doing those ads, when we got all that data back, we realized that we had a good product because the cost per click was very low. And that's when they were able to say, you know, we'll give you the green light, let's do this.
Great. Was that kind of scary at first when you were like, oh, that's a little bit of cash to lay out to kind
it's
of
terrifying. Just... It's absolutely terrifying. I mean, I'm a physical therapist, you know, I'm not rolling in the dough. Like every $1,000 investment's a big deal. You know, I really had to believe in myself and believe in the product, because again, it's just, you know, the money with these projects adds up so fast.
Yeah.
Tell us more about converting and marching into the Kickstarter campaigns. Why did you go with them? There's Indiegogo out there as well. Tell us more about why you decided to use the crowdsource type method for this type of product.
You know, the whole thing with my vision with the neck hammock is that I didn't want it to be just a medical product. You know, I didn't want it to be just something that, you know, when they see you using it, oh, there's something wrong with you. I want it to be more of a lifestyle product. And Kickstarter for me was a platform that people can see that. You know, they buy into the idea of here's a product that just makes you feel better. You know, here's a product that's innovative, it's new. And the Kickstarter specific demographic, they're into those sorts of things. The other thing that it does is it just creates a massive boom, you know, so to speak, launch boom, that's where they get their name, around your product. So instead of bootstrapping, had I bootstrapped it, I mean, it could take me a year to get to where I am now, but because Kickstarter has such a large audience, you're able to just generate so much interest just so fast. And then from there, it just allows me leverage now to go the e-commerce route or to, you know, negotiate with venture capital, if that's what I wanted to do, which not really into right now. But again, it just gives you a lot of options, and it just creates, you know, that social proof, because if I did this and not that many people were into it, well, maybe I didn't have the right product yet,
right.
You know, or something needed to change. So it just did a lot of those things all at once.
If you finish up the Kickstarter, obviously you've met your goal of, you know, $20,000. That was your initial goal. And right now you're at 750. I keep refreshing this. So you're closing up on 751 now. What is next after this campaign ends? We had talked about you going into Indiegogo. Can you give us a little more details on that?
Yeah. So again, kind of going back to Kickstarter, Kickstarter is essentially a huge pre-order platform where people are buying into your idea and they know that your product isn't actually made yet. It's not a store. Indiegogo in demand is essentially just a conduit from Kickstarter right into the e-commerce platform. Okay, so you're still collecting pre-orders, which you're able to then reinvest into the company and purchase, you know, larger quantities at a lower, you know, cost per goods per unit. So that'll be about 2 month process before we actually open our store, which we're shooting for February 1st, where when you go on thenethammock.com, you buy it, you can get it, you know, in a few days. You know, with the amount of demand that we've had, we have to order a lot of neck hammocks, you know, that just, it takes time. You know, it's not something that just happens like this, unfortunately.
Tell us more about shipping, manufacturing. How did you go about all that? How did you find it? Is that all just trial and error as well? Like if there's someone that's probably out there, like another physical therapist like us, and they have some idea for like a physical product or a physical good that they could see to help someone's lifestyle or help some patient or client, where did you go for all these steps, shipping, manufacturing, all of these things?
That is a really valuable question, because it really is like the Wild West out there. You have no idea who's honest, who's reliable until you actually start working with them. So I would say one of the biggest learning experiences from me doing this campaign is connecting and creating as many relationships as possible. Every single person that I'm using right now was a word of mouth referral from this former client who knows this guy who knew that guy. And those word of mouth referrals are super important because it's so easy to get screwed overseas. They know that you're not going over there and you don't speak the language and you're not really monitoring. So trust and honesty and finding good people is super challenging. So the people that I found was, again, through a friend
nice.
Who had been through this process before and who had came highly recommended. It's not something that immediately happens overnight. Just finding the right people probably took me at least 9 months just to find a manufacturer. Once we found a manufacturer, well, then how exactly are you going to get that product to the States? Yeah. And then when you do get it to the States, well, then who actually fulfills the orders? Are they going to send it all to your, you know, house or apartment? You're going to be putting shipping labels. It's for 10,000 units. There's absolutely no way.
So you got a big old garage there, Steve.
Not big enough. So finding a fulfillment center is also important. So again, it's like, how do you find the right fulfillment center? Luckily, again, I created relationships through people where they gave me, you know, good recommendations, and then you have the fulfillment center. But then you also have to worry about the customer service, you know, and you have to worry about all these little pieces that they just chip away at your time and your energy and all those things. That getting the right people is super important, and you can't rush right into something listening to someone who will sell you the world if you don't have any recommendations.
Right. Now, are you backing out of your practice right now or doing a little bit less, or how's that working?
I've had to scale down. I mean, I tried to maintain as long as I could, but I mean, you guys know as physical therapists, treating clients takes a lot of brain energy. It's not just like an automatic job. I mean, you're there, you're emotional with them. And I've had to cut back my hours substantially in order to do both, because this really is a 7-day-a-week job. I mean, every Saturday and Sunday I'm at, you know, the coffee shop getting stuff done now. And you need that mental break too. Otherwise you just wear yourself thin, and I didn't want to do that to my patients. So
good idea.
So now we're 2 days away from the close of this Kickstarter campaign, and you guys are now, Rob's probably still refreshing, over $750,000 worth of basically pre-orders, because you've described earlier. So there's like 1,000 ready to roll for the first batch.
Yep. And actually, I put in another rush order where we should have about 5,000 ready by the end of December, hopefully. Ideally, we'll get it here for Christmas, but you know, the crystal ball is kind of cloudy on that, whether or not we'll be able to get it here on time.
Gotcha. So with that, what's like the next couple steps? Like if anyone's listening that could potentially help you or reach out to you, do you need more help with getting more physical therapists or getting in this into more CrossFit gyms and getting more awareness? Are you trying to put out all the fires that are going on with all these, just the craziness of all the orders, and you have to worry about that first? What are some next couple steps for you?
I'll say all of the above, if not more. today I pulled up my Gmail from 9:23 to 11:23. I had 67 new emails that I had to address. Jeez. Not to mention the 17 Kickstarter messages, comments, and then that was only one email account. I still have my other actual like NetCamic email account.
Right.
So for me, it's multiplying myself, and I've been able to do that by hiring virtual assistants to take over like some of those tasks.
Nice.
Which I would recommend anyone in that position. But the next steps for me, it really is figuring out, you know, finding a really good digital marketing agency to basically help me turn this successful Kickstarter campaign into an actual business.
Right.
To where, you know, I can have someone managing the creative and the advertising. Because again, it's a full-time job, you know, that I just don't have the capabilities to do so. My personal goal from the very beginning, this is something that I've kind of stuck to, is I really wanted to have a successful Kickstarter campaign, you know, get a good e-commerce platform going, and then get on something like Shark Tank to really show the world the NetCamic and right. to show the world the innovation that physical therapists can create. So I would say, Dave, that the question, there's so many different subjects that we can bring up that I need assistance with. And it's just every day, it's just kind of figuring out something new. But, you know, managing my time has certainly become much more efficient because I've kind of had to figure out how to do that.
Yeah. So this may sound like a crazy question, but what's next after the neck hammock? You might see 5 minutes down the road, but still, I'm asking you to jump 6 months ahead. What do you think?
The low back hammock.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's got other ideas.
I mean, you have to. I already have a version 2.0 of the neck hammock in the works because I know that finding ways to optimize your use in that, that's one option. Another, you know, thing I'm thinking about as well is actually creating some sort of like studio to where people can just show up to a 30-minute power nap with a neck hammock and associated accessories with it. Because I live in Los Angeles, and a lot of people stressed out could just kind of get away.
Yeah, meditation, everything like that is getting huge.
It really is. And actually, and to be honest with you, that's what I use the neck hammock for myself, because I don't have neck pain anymore. But it's my 15 minutes away from technology, where I just close my eyes, put on some meditation music and relax. And that actually really helps me regain my focus and get back on, which is why I think that that component is so important that most people just don't do a great job of. They're just always on the go, and you're just never performing at a high level if you're never giving yourself that time to stop, think, digest, and then get back after it. So we have some other things in the works, but my goal is to be in a position where I can continue to create, find fixes for big needs out there. That's something that I really love to do. And I think that that's the route that I would love to go with this.
That's awesome. We didn't discuss this in the pre-interview, but I know you'll be able to handle this question. Now, for me, I am more of an outpatient sports medicine type physical therapist, moderately hands-on when I was treating and treating some clients and patients here and there. There's probably some physical therapist that might hear this and think this is crazy to have some type of a consumerized product for the masses that is going to be non-specific traction and non-specific treatment. And then a combination of those haters that are probably going to be the naysayers of this. I love it. Because I use the Saunders Unit. It's the same type of thing. I didn't know what segment I was, you know, doing traction to myself. Yeah. So there's going to be some of those naysayers. If there's anything that you had any pushback from any physical therapist or anyone that said like this is going to dumb down any treatment and then they don't have to come to a physical therapist and how's it effective, then you're not doing neuro re-ed stabilization or exercises for it, like have you heard any of this stuff?
Oh yeah, I've heard it all. So, the thing is though, as a physical therapist, I get it. Like I don't ever believe that there's going to be a device that can replace our skills. I that's just not a thing. With that being said, not everyone can afford to go see a physical therapist 2-3 times a week, whether it's because of time, money, you know, insurance runs out, or whatever. So to have something that they can use at home to supplement those services, well, that's really what I'm going after here. This isn't a magic bullet, but if it's something that can bring you from a 5 out of 10 pain to 2 or 3 out of 10, you know, on a daily basis, well, why wouldn't you want to do that? You know, because naturally, you know, if you have less pain, then you're happier, and that's ultimately what we all want.
Right.
Something that I haven't even discussed, though, one of my marketing strategies is going to be directly towards physical therapists, chiropractors. The really cool thing about the neck hammock that I haven't even touched upon is really its multitude of uses. The most general use is just general cervical traction, right? You put it around the base of your skull, you know, you scoop further away from the door or the railing, whatever you're using, to increase the tension, and you get your cervical traction. That is mostly for people who just need, again, just general rest and relaxation of their neck. People who sit, you know, behind a computer desk all day and the muscles back here become really tight. It's going to be really beneficial for them. The other way that you can use it, though, is let's say you wanted, you know, you have your text neckers, okay? So the people who are like this, they already have overstretched muscles of the back of their neck, right? Well, we don't really want to stretch those anymore. So all you have to do is move the neck hammock lower on their neck, and then therefore starts to create and restore that kyphotic curve in their neck. And unlike other devices out there, instead of you just lying on something and it pushes here, it's still creating that cervical traction force along with restoring the curve of their neck. Okay, so there's definitely two different schools of people that you can use it for. The other component that I haven't even discussed as well is how does it create cervical traction? We use resistance cords. Well, what can you do with resistance cords?
Right.
Strengthening exercises and neuromuscular reeducation exercises. So one of the things I actually do with my clients while they use it is we'll work on chin tucks and chin tuck isometrics while they're using the neck hammock that actually adds a little bit of resistance to strengthen those deep neck flexors even more effectively than doing something without biofeedback or whatnot.
Perfect.
So there's that component. The other thing that you can also do with the neck hammock that you cannot do with the Saunders cervical traction is you actually can do range of motion exercises. So while it's creating that cervical traction, you then can maybe isolate more of like the left side, the left facet joints, or more of the right facet joints. You do a little bit of rotation while it's creating that traction. So it's taking the pressure off of those facets in general. So it's usually much more tolerable. So again, that's something that obviously I didn't want to complicate things by sending that message to the masses, but that is going to be something that we create specific protocols for physical therapists, chiropractors, people who see a lot of neck pain patients, that it can be used so much more than just cervical traction.
Yeah, those are all great points, because any device is not going to cover every single person. Absolutely, just the best answer you can give right there. And I think if you go on Shark Tank, if you get any questions similar to that, you'll be able to shut them down very quickly. I mean, again, we hadn't talked about that in the pre-interview, and that answer covered everything.
Again, this is something that I really am passionate about, and I truly believe can bring a lot of relief to a lot of people out there. We have such an opioid epidemic.
Absolutely.
Why would you not try something that the risk versus reward here is so high for the reward and so low for the risk versus the other things that we're giving people at home? For me, it's really a no-brainer, because I've already had so many patients who have used this and got a lot of benefit out of it. So I'm extremely passionate about answering all the naysayers out there, because, you know, a lot of it's just education.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, I was going to say, let's do a little screen share of the Kickstarter campaign right now. So if you're listening to the podcast, you can hop over to our YouTube channel. This will be in there for you to see as well. And if you're only listening to the podcast, you can go to theneckhammock.com, or like I found this just a second ago, you can actually just Google neck hammock. Right away, you'll find it. Screen share. There we go.
So if you're listening to the podcast, click on the YouTube video for this episode, scroll towards the end, and then you'll see this campaign and the website that we're going to take a look at right now. $750,000 committed. $750,720. Wow. Yeah. 10,356 backers.
3 days to go. And then, Steve, you guys are doing a Q&A tomorrow?
So kind of going over the last 30 days, you know, I've gone through videos and Facebook comments, and just I'm going to be answering a lot of the most common questions that I get on anything from, is it safe? How can I use? Who is this for? And I'm going to also open the forum up to questions that people may have as well. I just think that the more the people know about this, the more that they will be very willing to use it, even if it's not for them. I mean, everyone's got a mom, a dad, an aunt, an uncle, someone suffering from neck pain. I mean, we all know someone in our lives. So,
well, this is the flow of this Kickstarter campaign itself is something right off the bat that I'm guessing Launch Boom really put the time in to do that. Is that correct?
I could have never done this on my own. They did a really fantastic job. And actually, like what you're looking at, all the features and all the mentions, as those came up, you know, they were able to quickly just install those into the campaign page where I'd be
wow. Clueless. Yeah, that's impressive. So it goes all the way up from $59, and then you can buy a 20-pack here for, what is the price on that? That breaks down to just $50 per neck hammock. Is that right?
And that includes a display stand that we have as well, too, which I don't have pictured there.
Oh, for so clinic display case.
Exactly.
I think
it'll be something that you can store, but that your patients can use, you know, right there in the clinic.
That's great. Okay. Well, anybody that wants to see more of this, absolutely go to theneckhammock.com or just Google neck hammock, NECKHAMMOCK, and that'll pop up as the first and second link right there.
Okay. Steve, in terms of anyone that is watching this or listening, if they wanted to reach out to you, again, you are already extremely busy. We know that.
Yeah.
But other than checking out theneckhammock.com, is there any social channel or any email address or anything you'd like to mention publicly here that if anyone was interested, they can reach out to you?
I will say this is that I still do go through and read all of my emails. So if anyone does reach out, I will do the best that I can to answer them as soon as possible. But my email is relax. @thenekhammock.com. Pretty simple to remember. We also have social media channels, Instagram, we're Neck Hammock, and Facebook, we're Neck Hammock as well. The Facebook group, we're getting more organized with, again, just managing the Kickstarter page and whatnot. Only so many hours in the day to really be able to focus on everyone's comments and messages, but we're stepping that up right now.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, final question. How many hours of sleep have you gotten in the last 5 days?
I'd be happy if I was averaging about 4 a day.
You have to include his 10 minutes of meditation in the neck hammock.
15 in the neck hammock.
Or 15, and that could be, if it's quality meditation, it could be recovering additional rest.
Yeah, perfect.
It certainly helps. It definitely does.
Awesome. So listen, Steve, we are definitely going to have you back in the future. It was so awesome to have you on here and catch up with you. For Rob and I here at PT Tech Talk, episode 65, Steve, thank you so much. And best of luck with the Neck Hammock Kickstarter campaign and everything else moving forward.
Thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate it. Had a lot of fun.
All right. Man, that was smooth. Nice. All right, Steve, go take a nap. And